Let's open in prayer. Father, thank you so, so, so much for this day. Father, this is just a special day, and we're grateful, Father God, we truly are, for your blessings to us in so many ways, but especially for today. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. We had a meeting not long ago, and I had great opportunity as we were sitting and chatting and talking about what we were going to be doing this morning and how we could maybe help the service, and we came up with the idea of allowing some of the ladies to be able to come and share their hearts. Now, I know this is not right. I can't stand it. Somebody move.
On my way.
This is just not right. I'm seeing her poke, and he's like, you go. And it's like, somebody do it. All's well with the world. Sorry. It's like, whoa. Anyway, we got to talking about Mother's Day and what we could do and how we could be a part. And then Ty came up with the idea of some of us coming and sharing our hearts. And so as I was kind of pulling this together and kind of seeing where the Lord would have me start this morning, because there's going to be four of us sharing this morning, my first thought was the word circles. The word circle just coming in my mind. And so I wrote it down, circles. And the first circle I want to talk about is my own personal one. And maybe some of you noticed that my dear mommy is in the house today. Yay, yeah. And I see up there, she is as my mommy. I just love my mommy. My mom has been a very, very special friend to me, not just a special friend, but talk about mentor, but she's always there for me in the good and the bad, and there's a good time coming up right there. That's my good time. That was my mommy. And I even brought a tissue just for today. Anyway, I'm so grateful to have not only just a mom, but a friend. And to have her here today is really special to me. I'm really, really grateful. And I don't want anyone to take for granted their moms. I know sometimes it's like easy to do, it's and so forth, but I wanted the Lord to help me to really honor my mom and to be able to let her know that I loved her. And she's not just a mom to me. We have siblings, or I have siblings, and I only could get a picture of just one of us. And so there's my brother Greg, and Andy, who I love dearly, is not in there, but I'm blessed with two brothers. Now, my circle doesn't end there, because not only am I a daughter, but I'm also a mom. I got to be a mom. I'm honored and gifted. We are honored and gifted with an awesome son. And that's my son, Eric, who in turn gave me a very special daughter-in-law, who gave me two sons, two grandsons. And that's my circle. My circle started with my mom. And I have my own circle. And it was like, God, thank you for my circle. Thank you for my life. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to have that in my life. What a gift. What a gift God has given to me. And then the Lord spoke to my heart, and we were going to talk about mentors today as well. I have a circle there. When I was very young, I went to school, Sunday school, and Sunday school teachers just have the opportunity to mentor young people. And I remember some of my very first Sunday school teachers. I was just little, and we went off to Sunday school, my brother, that one, and I. And we were just blessed with some of the best Sunday school teachers that made an impact in my life. As I was researching in my own heart what I wanted to share about mentors, they popped up. It was like the Lord put in my heart that we have opportunities to mentor young people. And that makes a difference in the young people's lives, makes a difference in their life forever. I mean, there's two of them particularly, and I thought, man, I wish I could remember their names. I know they're way long gone, because in my mind, they were way old then. It's like probably younger than I am now, but they seemed really old. But I can't remember their names, but you know I'm looking for them when I get to heaven, because they made an impact on a little kid's life. And then I began to think of the mentors in my life as I grew older. And I had, there's many, but and one particular I wanted to talk about, because she was a mentor to me even when I was a leader and made a huge difference in my life. Her name was Barbara Taylor. And Barbara Taylor would be probably close to 100 now if she were around now. She's been gone for about 10 years. And made such a huge difference in my life, and especially when I went more into leadership. Leaders need mentors too. Leaders need people coming along, standing beside them. She was on the board that I was the head of. She was on a board member, and that was a woman I could always go to and always felt like she was there for me. Man, she had my back. I felt like I earned that T-shirt. She has my back. And she was always such a special person. And the make a full circle was that I became a mentor as well. I had a couple of ladies actually ask me, gosh, about 25 years ago, and it was just about the same time, and I was really busy. I was doing a lot of different things, and I had my hands on a lot of different pies making things go. And two ladies pretty much at the same time said, we really would like for you to independently be my mentor. And one of them was our large church. She was going to be the pastor's new executive secretary. And I'm thinking, she's brand new to the area, but she really wanted somebody to come alongside. And the other one was not a new Christian, but had some issues. And it was like two spectrums. And I had to be very, very kind and say, generously try to say no. In fact, the one that was a secretary, I said, I have a lady. Her name is Barbara Taylor. Oh, she will be the best person for you. And she says, no, I want you. And I thought, Lord, you're going to have to help me through this. And I want to tell you that I look back now and I think, what a dingbat I was. I would have lost such an amazing blessing in my life for both of these ladies. One now is on a board with me, and the other one is now, her and her husband run a Bible college in Cambodia, which I'm their corporate secretary of. I would have lost out on so many things if I would have not poured into their lives. And now I reap that benefit of being a part of their life. There will be times when people will come to you and it's like, I can't be a mentor. Yes, you can. You have life experience. There are things in your life that you can help other people with. Even if you're busy, you can find some time. I carved out one lunch period a week for each of those women for 2 years. That was a lot for me in those days. But I did it. And the Lord let me reap the benefits. We need to be looking in our own sphere where we are, our own sphere of influence. What can I do to help those around me? Now, I wouldn't say I want to be your mentor. They may not want you as their mentor. but you can begin to pray and say, Lord, where can I make a difference? You know, Lord, where can I make a difference in someone's life? And you know what? God will bring them to your heart. God will bring them to your mind. Even if it's praying for them when they don't even know it, you can impart into people's lives. That my full circle was becoming a little kid in a Sunday school class to being a mentor to someone else. I made that full circle by being that child and then being that mentor to someone else. Now, one last thing, because we don't have a lot of, she gave us a little window, and I want to be cognizant of my time, but the last window or circle I want to talk about is a circle that I have had people in my life, and I can honestly say not all of them in the particular situations I'm talking about could I call them mom or mama. But in this case, I actually can, and so do you. Her name is Mama Ty. Mama Ty, oh my goodness. I've had a lot of different times in my life where I've had pastor's wives, and trust me, they weren't all mamas. They were there and they were doing their job and the best they could, bless their hearts. But we are blessed with a mama. And I hear it all over the congregation, over and over. Mama, Mama Ty. You know, she's cried with us. She's laughed with us. We've had parties with her. You know, she has taken care of things for us when we didn't even know she was. That's Mama Ty. Mama Ty is now my next full circle. I've watched her from going from over here, and now Mama Ty is my new full circle. I love my Mama Ty. She is a blessing to each and every one of us in this building. And we need to be praying for Mama Ty, because Mama's got a lot of kids. And that's a lot of responsibility for one mom. But we love our Mama Ty. She mentors us. She's with us. She loves us. And I mean, her heart is towards us. And I'm grateful for that full circle. Watching you here, to come here, to be the best Mama Ty. Honest to goodness, you're one of the best mama pastor's wives I've ever had in my life, and I want to thank you for that. Thank you. Miss Noreen.
Oh, thank you, sweetie.
Boy, it's bright up here. Do I have my mama? That's my mama. That's my mama. She's my sweet, sweet mama. She is the perfect picture of what you don't have to be. You don't have to have power. You don't have to have position. You don't have to have any kind of things like that to be classy. And she was a classy lady. So, good morning. That was beautiful. And you cried. I hope I don't make you cry. Anyway, I'm going to start out right off the bat. Years ago, between appointments, my husband would go out on appointments and he'd call me between them because he had space to fill. So I became the space filler. You know, like in the newspapers where there used to be newspapers, and they used to have a column right down there and they had little quotes, little things that they'd stick in there, you know, just because, I guess. Well, I have one, and I kind of, you know, thought, gee, I don't know if I can take this and plagiarize this and stuff, but it was by Mr. Unknown, so I'm good, okay? Anyway, it says, motherhood is the exquisite inconvenience of being another person's everything. That kind of gives you chills, doesn't it? There's a lot packed into that one sentence, but first of all, the word exquisite. That means beautiful and typically delicate and jewel-like. That's quite a description of being a mother. Sometimes hard, though, to link that word exquisite with inconvenience of motherhood. But first of all, motherhood, and I know these ladies right here are feeling it good. It's the morning sickness, the sleepless nights, the frequent visits to the other room. And then after that, you get the labor, the mood swings, and the sleepless nights again. But ponder this, to be another person's everything, that is a tremendous sense of responsibility on your shoulders. But that's what makes you absolutely priceless. You've all seen the commercials, you know, they have this, this, and this, and then, but it's priceless. That's what motherhood is. You know, there's ups, there's downs. There's a bunch of sideways, but it's all good. So in those moments when you self-doubt and you feel despair, don't sell yourself short, because it just comes with the territory. It's just there, you know? Because, ladies, there's only one person in this whole world that is our everything. And, of course, you know, that is God. And it is God who gave us that absolutely beautiful, somewhat overwhelming role of being mothers. In the great scheme of things, we are mothers. But you know what? God will always be beside you. God will never leave you. He'll sit up with you the long nights when baby's sick, has the croup. He'll come along with you when your baby falls asleep in your arms, and he just smiles right there with you. He feels that warmth and that companionship that you have with your child. But he'll also be there when you have the victory, when you have the victory of watching your child walk down the aisle to get his diploma, or your child walk down the aisle to become one with another person. It's kind of overwhelming when you know that this this side here or this side here, there's God. Yeah, he's not back there. He's not up here. He's right beside you walking the distance. Titus 2:3 instructs us, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God. A little sidebar here for the feminists, you know. Got to back that one up. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So you know, all those things that you think, oh my gosh, I got to follow him. Well, look what he's doing. You know, he's following God and he's doing what God instructs him to do. We all have roles and we all must be mindful of them, and we all must remember that those roles are directed by God. I'm reminded of a little story, and I've told it before. I don't know if I have here, but a new young bride was determined to be a good wife and to be a good mother. And to do so, she would use her mother as an example and to try to follow in her footsteps. Every Christmas and every Easter, she'd truck her way down to the local grocery store and buy herself a ham, gorgeous ham, you know. And so the day came, and she would begin the preparations for dinner. She got the great big ham out, the great big roasting pan out, and the great big knife out. She cut the ends off, both ends of the ham, and stuck it in the pan and started roasting. Well, the husband watched this for years, years and years, and he says, honey, why do you do that? I've always wanted to ask you. And she says, well, that's the way my mother did it. My mother always did it that way. Well, the guy says, oh, okay. However, when the husband finally came to the mother-in-law and says, why did you do that? I don't understand. She just shrugged and said, well, the pan was too small. You know? And looky there, we picked up on that. That's my mama, and it's got to be right. It's got to be good. We're just doing what mama said. And it is kind of a funny story. But it shows how much that we look up to our mothers and that we let them serve. Yeah. Let them serve as mentors. Sometimes we reject them. We reject what they want to do for us, and we cannot do that. They are just doing what we want to do with our children. I'm a mother, I'm a grandmother, I'm a great-grandmother. And Lord knows that I've done a lot of things wrong. I've not listened to God when I should have, but God just, come on, honey, next time you'll do better. And that's all any of us can do. Proverbs 13:24 said, he who holds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. We certainly do focus on the loving and the teaching and the nurturing, but we must, as mothers, help our husbands to discipline our children. That's hard. That's a hard role. We cannot overstep our role because that is our husband's role, but it's still a hard role. But we are mothers, and we are that thing that remains a pivotal role in God's design for our world. William Ross Wallace wrote a poem in 1865, and I promise I'm not going to say it now. But it was originally titled, What Rules the World? And then it was subsequently retitled to, The Hand That Rocks the Cradle Rules the World. So see, I get back with the feminists here on this one. The final line of that verse is, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world, not with strength or power, nor with harshness or sternness, rather with love and compassion, tenderness and understanding. We mothers tend to be peacemakers, but more than that, I think we tend to be the backbone of the family. We tend to be the very heart of it. I said this about my mother at her service. I'm not supposed to do this, sorry. And I believe strongly that this is a woman's place. I really, really can relate it to my mother. The supple willow that bends with a sometimes daily wind that almost drives us to our knees, which, by the way, is the best place to be when you're talking with God. And yet when the wind dies down, that willow once again is found to be erect and standing with her face to the wind. And I think that's what women do. We are so resilient. We hide a lot of our pain. We hide a lot of our indecision, our doubts, and everything else. But when it comes to the family, we are strong. We are that mother bear, you know, that mother bear that's out there. And I have found we women have a tendency to doubt ourselves and come down a little too hard. But years ago, when we were going through a hard patch when we lived in McCall, one of my beautiful daughters gave me this for Christmas. It is entitled Continue On. And in closing, I'd like to read it to you. If I can see it. A woman once fretted over the usefulness of her life. She feared she was wasting her potential being a devoted wife and mother. She wondered if the time and the energy she invested in her husband and her children would ever make a difference. At times, she got discouraged because so much of what she did seemed to go unnoticed and unappreciated. Is it worth it? She often wondered. Is there something better that I could be doing with my time? It was during one of these moments of questioning that she heard the still, small voice of her Heavenly Father speak to her heart. You are a wife and a mother because that is what I have called you to be. Much of what you do is hidden from the public eye, but I notice. Most of what you give is done without remuneration, but I am your reward. Your husband cannot be the man that I have called him to be without your support. Your influence upon him is greater than you think and more powerful than you ever know. I bless him through your service and honor him through your love. Your children are precious to me, even more precious than they are to you. That's really hard to believe, but it's truth. I have entrusted them to your care to raise for me, what you invest in them is an offering to me. You may never live in the public spotlight, but your obedience shines as a bright light before me. Mm-hmm. Continue on. Remember, you are my servant, and do all to please me. So Psalms 49:10, be still and know that I am God. Be still means to surrender. Submit to the Lord and know that I am God, because God is the one that's going to take you through it all. Thank you. And Brooke is here hiding somewhere. I know she is. Thank you.
On the way up, I told her, thanks for giving me something easy to follow.
Right.
I'm going to start mine off with a Facebook video, all right? Sound good? Oh, my goodness. So I'm an insomniac, something that my children gave me. Speak of being a mother. After I had my children, I became an insomniac. So when I'm falling asleep at night, I watch Facebook videos because they just go and go and go, and I easily fall asleep. Well, I came across one that was titled, This is How Much Your Mother Loves You. And I was like, oh, that's cute. And it was a little bird sitting on her nest. And all of a sudden, she stands up and she puts out her wings and she's just standing there. And then you see a giant shadow move over the top of her, and it's a tractor. A giant tractor driving over the top of her. And she doesn't move. She holds and she stands there. And you can tell that this tractor is tilling up the ground. And so it comes, and then you see this space between the tractor and the piece of equipment that's going to end this little bird's life and destroy the nest. And the tractor stops, and the discs lift, and the farmer lifted the discs. He saw the bird and moved over the top of her. She didn't move. Even part of the equipment, like, clipped her head, and she was like, you know, like, oh, you know, but she didn't move. She stood there. She protected that nest. She would have died to protect that nest. Lucky for her and the babies that the farmer did see him and had a heart and lifted the disc. Because I'm like, this is going to end really bad, and I'm not going to like this video very much anymore. But it was profound. Because even in nature, you know, God shows us how important motherhood is. And yes, protecting our babies is a big part, but that's not all. So as I was preparing for this, I looked up a couple of definitions of mom. And the word mom became popular in 1940s. Before that, it was mother or mama, which I use a lot, mama. But I was looking up definitions, and I came up with some definitions that aren't quite Webster. I got them off Urban Dictionary, which is everybody else's definition of a word. So, and these are the two that really stuck out to me and that I believe are completely 100% the definition of mom. The person who knows where all your stuff is. I thought that was pretty great, because that's how it is in my house. It's like, mom, where's mine? I'm like, if I walk into your room and I move one thing and I find it, you're going to be in big trouble. And they're like, I've looked everywhere. I'll walk in and I'll move one article of clothing. And I'm like, ta-da, found it. Second, the reason I haven't starved to death. Yet. And I thought that was pretty great, because, yeah, it was just awesome. I have many moms in my life, and I don't know if it's because God knew that I was going to need all of them, because I'm a pain in the butt, and he was like, this girl's going to need all the help she can get, so I'm going to put this one here, and then later on, I'm going to put this one here, and they're all going to pour into her, which I'm pretty sure that's why. But I have a lot of amazing women in my life who've all taught me something, and I only have 10 minutes and like 15 moms and mentors, so here goes. My mom is the bomb. She's the absolute best. She's my best friend in the whole world. She always has been. We've always been really close. But she taught me compassion and to always give everyone, doesn't matter who, the benefit of the doubt. She taught me to always love, to always show love and not anger. She was always there to hear me out. Always listened, even when she didn't agree. She didn't agree with what I was doing, or she didn't agree with the direction I was going. She always, always listened. And she always gave me perspective. And sometimes it drove me absolutely crazy. Because, you know, when you're young and naive and, you know, someone's sitting there telling you, well, you know, but what, maybe they meant this, and maybe, well, you're taking their side. But that's not what it was. She was just trying to help me see all aspects and see the good in someone instead of the bad, and try to understand where they were coming from. And I've used that in all aspects of my life, being a boss, being a business owner, being a wife, being a mom, being a friend. That's something that I've used everywhere. Of course, she taught me more than just that. She taught me life skills and how to become a happy, healthy adult who makes good decisions. Maybe not to everybody, but, you know, make good decisions and, you know, make decent choices. She taught me how to work hard. She really did. She's a hardworking woman 100% of the time. I call her an aunt because she can lift well more than her weight. Like, how did you get that couch in the truck? Well, I just did it, you know? She taught me how to work hard and how to accomplish my goals, you know? It took grit, it took a lot of work. And she pushed me the whole way and never let me give up and encouraged me. And I thank you for that very much. I love you. My mom in love. She's not my mom-in-law. She's my mom in love. Mama Tai is such a great example of a godly woman. She taught me how to love unconditionally. Because I was her first daughter. meaning I was the first girl to come into their lives and disrupt everything that they spent years and years meticulously structured, organized, and scheduled lives. And I'll admit, I brought a new flavor. Sometimes sweet, mostly sour. I take credit for her snarkiness. I do. I'm sure it was always there, and I just poured a little water on it, and it grew. But I'm pretty sure that wore off a little bit. But even though I disrupted their lives and, you know, stole their oldest son away, she still loves me. And I know that she loves me like a daughter, as if she birthed me herself. She loves me unconditionally. And I am so blessed every day by her love. And she raised my husband, who's the absolute perfect fit for me, with help of Papa, of course. Can't leave that out. He's a big part of it, I know. She nurtured him. She loved him, helped shape him into the man that he is today. And in my opinion, he's the best. So well done, Mama. Well done. And thank you for everything. I love you too. My grandmothers. I have amazing grandmas. My Grandma Jo and my great grandma Roberts. These ladies with my amazing young mom in that picture. Not that you're old. Back when I was a baby in that picture. My grandma's taught me there's always something to smile about. There's always something to smile at. They were the silver lining. They always saw the silver lining. And that there was always something to laugh about. That's something I remember at my Grandma Roberts, is that she was always laughing. She laughed. And it wasn't like that weird, awkward, like someone laughs in the middle of a conversation, and you're like, what's so funny? She always found something to be happy about. And that's something that's resonated for a long time in me. Like I always try. Sometimes I'm not very good at it. But I try to find something to be, try to find the silver lining in a lot of things. My Grandma Shirley and my Grandma Maxine, my great-grandma Maxine, they're on my dad's side. They taught me the importance of family and how important it is to gather and celebrate one another. My Grandma Mills, another great example of unconditional love. Complete unconditional love. And loves children who aren't hers, but are. They're hers. Those are mine, you know. That's how Grandma Mills is. And also the power of prayer. That woman, the power in her prayer is just amazing. Thank you, Grandma. My mentors. I have a lot. And they're all my mamas. Mama Sandy. Once she told Haas and I, if the sheep come, if they come to you and they're hungry, you got to feed them. And that has resonated in my life. I can't tell you how often I think of that. It has, and it's in all aspects. My business, my personal life, my friends, the church. That little nugget of knowledge has reshaped my life. And I just want to tell you thank you for always being there. She believed in me when, and she
encouraged me to speak when I had zero confidence in myself. And she did. And that was all I needed. And sometimes that's what a mentor is they believe in you when you don't believe in yourself. And they encourage you and they gently nudge you in the direction that you need to go. And she just is such a strong woman of God. And I'm so honored to serve with her in Hope Restored Ministries. It's just been, it's been life-changing for me. And Mama Sandy, or Mama Sherry, sorry, has showed me the example of how to be the hands and feet of a ministry. You know, the quiet one that sits and listens, the quiet one that sits and prays, the quiet one that gets up and sets everything up and sends the emails and signs all the paperwork, the hands and the feet and the brains. There's so much power in that sweet, quiet woman. And I appreciate her so much just showing me that sometimes it's just the go-getter, the person that's the hands and the feet that just make it work. And she's so humble and so quiet and doesn't want any recognition. She's amazing. Thank you for showing me that. Sister Bonnie, is she in here? She's not, because she's teaching the kids. Did she? She's my kids' first teacher. I can't say enough about her and her passion for children. When I grow up, I want to be just like her. She's the one that fueled the want to learn in my kids through Sunday school. And it's such an important part of mentorship when you start that small. And she's mentoring a lot of kids. And she's so good at it. And I just appreciate all that she's done for my kids and all the kids that she's touched through the years that have come through these churches. Just like I said, I want to be here like her when I grow up. And I want to be just as organized as her. I don't know how she does that. But truly, I'm so blessed by so many godly examples on a daily basis, and I'm thankful for every single one of these moms and mentors and every single one of the moms and mentors that sit in this room. I appreciate you guys. God bless.
Amazing job. Thank you, ladies. Now I have to follow up with everyone. But as everyone was speaking, I kind of heard words and different things that different ones were saying that I have in my notes. So I'm going to be repeating some of what I've heard this morning with some of you. Thank you, ladies, for agreeing to share your hearts this morning, each one of you. And I have a few moms and mentors in my life that I would like to speak about this morning. The first one is, and it goes back to, I think I figured about 35 plus years ago. When I was a young mom, I went to church with Gary. Gary got saved before I did. And it wasn't that I was doing anything wrong or anything bad. I attended church with him. I just wasn't quite ready to say, God, I give you me. And he would go to church, and sometimes I wouldn't. And he would come home, and he would be so jovial and so happy. And I would pick a fight with him. I was just so annoyed because he was so happy. What? And so I recall one day sitting in what's now a rehab facility. My dad-in-law, which I absolutely adore and I miss him. My dad-in-law was the pastor, and Crystal Vaughn was a young teen at that time in our dad's church. They were having a testimony service. And Crystal stood up to testify, and she said, we all need the real seal on our lives. When a dairy product is real dairy, real milk, doesn't have all that other stuff in it, it gets the real seal. And if you go to the grocery store, you will see on the side of a container, if it's real sour cream and not imitation, it's going to have that real seal on it. And Crystal said that we need to be genuine and real and have the real seal of God on our lives. I went to church then, but I didn't have that real seal. And Crystal, I can't quite remember if it was I have it in my mind that it was a Valentine's party, but it was a party of some kind that we were decorating for, and I had come down to help you, and I think it was a Valentine's party. I think it was the Valentine's party. And I watched Crystal. Crystal is a very private, and she is going to probably send me a nasty email tomorrow. She is very quiet. She is very private. She is very powerful. And I left that party saying to myself, I am missing what she has. I am missing something. So Gary's driving our 79 Chevy up the hill, coming up to our home on the bench here. And I just started crying, and he's looking at me. And I said, God, I give up. I'm tired of fighting against you. I give you me. I want to be saved. I want to be a Christian. And from that point on, I got the real seal. I got the real seal of God in my life, and there isn't a time that I don't see that seal when I go through the dairy department at the grocery store, that I don't think about Crystal's and her testimony all of those years ago. We need the real seal in our lives. So, Crystal, thanks for that. I would be remiss this morning if I didn't mention these next three ladies. I had nothing to do with raising them, but I had everything to do with bringing them into my home, bringing them into my family, because we prayed for our boys. We prayed for godly wives for our boys. And my DJ, he wanted to marry at 5 years old. Laura Ann, I am glad he waited. DJ just loved being in love. But the first one I want to talk about this morning is my Brooke. She is my daughter. She is my child of firsts. She was the first marriage in our family. She was the first daughter in a family of all boys. She gave birth to our first grandchild. She gave birth to my first granddaughter. I finally got a girl. Brookie was all grown up, but I got a baby girl at one point in time. She is raising her children to be independent thinkers, rescuers of all things animal. They are hunters, and most importantly, she's raising them to be lovers of God. I asked the boys to write me a little something about describing how they feel their wives are as mothers. And Haas said this, Brooke is fiercely loving. She is a mama bear through and through. If you mess with her cubs, you will get her claws. She is compassionate and loving to our children, but can be firm when necessary. She fights for her kids no matter what, and gives of herself to ensure their success and growth. And to that I say, amen. Laura Ann is a protector. She's selflessly loving to the two human beings that God has put in her charge. She is diligent to make sure her children grow up in a Christian home with Christian values. She feels it's important to teach her children all the old nursery rhymes and all of the old Sunday school songs that we learned as kids. They don't really do that anymore, but not in Laura Ann's world. Laura teaches them, and she reminds us of those feel-good moments of learning those songs as children. She has the patience of Job, and I am kidding you not. The woman is extremely patient, except when there's blood involved. And she's usually down for the count. As a mother, Dusty describes Laura as warm, compassionate, supportive, and loving. In a word, she is amazing. She's the answer to prayers spoken long, long ago. My wife is compassionate and loving to our children. She is attentive and adoring and always leaves room in the schedule for snuggle time. She is silly when desired and firm when needed, correcting with love and understanding. She always goes the extra mile to ensure that all of her children's needs are attended to, and all too often puts her own needs last in line. She's amazing. She's beautiful. She's an amazing mom. Amen. My third daughter, and I only number them because we're going 1, 2, 3. I don't number my kids. Laura Caroline. This is Cody's wife, and she's with her mom this morning. She amazes me. She absolutely amazes me. She's not a mother, as in giving birth to a child. Her and Cody don't have children yet. But she is a nanny to 2 children for the past 5.5 years. Little Andy, the little girl, was about 1.5 years old when Laura Caroline became their nanny. And she started caring for her. And then a newborn baby boy was added to the family. And he is now going into first grade. She has a mother's influence to those children in every sense of the word. Waking them up in the morning, and sometimes she is the last face they see at night. She is feeding their minds and nurturing their little spirits with love of God. Loving them as she does is not her job. It's a reflection of who she is. Cody says of Laura that she is kind and generous, loving and nurturing. And she, as she takes care of these kids, she cares for the kids as her own, protecting them and shaping them to grow up to be responsible and loving children. Just as Christ loves each one of his children, she displays that same type of love for these kids. She is amazing at what she does. And I am so blessed to have all 3 of these girls as my daughters in my family. A few other moms and mentors that I'd like to make note of this morning. Sherry. Yes, my buddy Sherry. Sherry and I have been friends for over 27 years. She's been a longtime friend and inspiration, and Brooke nailed it on the head. She is the hands and feet, and she likes to stay in the background, and she has a beautiful voice for singing. I'm just going to put that out there, sis. She has gone through some very scary seasons in her life as a wife, as a mother, and as a grandmother, and yet she has never been bitter or angry towards God. Her heart is open and loving. And I too have Bonnie Davis in my circle, as Sandy said. Bonnie taught me the power of a card. An attentive voice to the Holy Spirit, Bonnie has dropped a card in the mail at times that I really needed encouragement and someone to just say, I care. My husband used to travel. He traveled for over 20 years as an evangelist and left me at home with 3 boys. And Bonnie was always amazing. Yeah, I tried to put on a smile, put on that happy face, but it was just hard. I am connected with that man. And when he is away, I feel empty. But she would send me a handmade card, a written card to just encourage me and remind me that she's there and she loves me. She taught me the power of a card. My friend Karina. Karina and I have known each other for years. Grade school, when Morgan was in grade school, we have known each other for years and just have started going to church and attending together the last few years. And Karina and I went to lunch most recently and realized that God had totally connected our hearts. So many similarities in our histories. At some point in time, it felt like we were looking at mirror images of one another. And in conclusion, and against all odds, we found that we were both in love with amazing men, raising incredible kids, and having the love of a God who never turned his back on us. We have that, her and I, connected at the heart. Donna Myers, she is my mom mentor who is always available to me. Not everybody can say they're always available. Donna Myers is always available. She shows me every time I am around her how to love and how to show compassion to others. She is what it looks like to give unselfishly. Sandy Swanson. Sandy is my mentor. Sandy's my encourager. Sandy and I connected from the onset in a much, much deeper level, spiritual level, than I think I've ever connected with anybody else. And I hope that's okay to say. Okay? Well, I was going to say something one time, and she goes, "You can't say that from the pulpit." And I didn't hardly know her. And she, and right then and there, I thought, nope, this lady has got to be in my life. She is brutally honest, and some of us need brutal honesty. We connected on a deep, deep spiritual level. She challenges me to be a stronger, more devoted believer. I admire her fierce love to serve God and to be outspoken in all that he has done for her in her life. She is my iron sharpens iron person, and I love you, Miss Sandy Swanson. And lastly, I wish everybody that called Elevation Worship Center was here, that called this church their home. I wish they were all here so I could explain this once, because I've had to explain it a million times. Debbie Mills. A mother's love is unconditional and eternal. That's her mantra. That's her banner that she holds high, that a mother's love is unconditional and it's eternal. God put a special closeness in our hearts that draw us to each other. She is not my biological birth mother. Just to get that out there. She did not give birth to me, but that has not hindered one thing in our relationship. I sometimes struggled as a young mother being away from my mom and being a mama's girl all of my life. Debbie saw that in me, and I was drawn to her like a bug to a nightlight, because she has that nurturing, motherly attribute that you just want to just go and put your head on her shoulder. She's a mom in every sense of the word. When Gary was gone holding revivals on Mother's Day, and this was his busy season, and he was usually gone on Mother's Day, she would always make sure that the boys had a card or a gift, or sometimes both, for me while he was absent. She had taken on yet another child, and I know that there's other people who are unrelated birthwise to the Mills that have just clung to them as mama and dad. I love dad too. Yours is in June. He accepted us also, so we just like all come with a, you know, package there. She had taken on yet another child and family to love with an open arms and open heart. I've known her for many years, and one day she came through the church doors and said that she had been praying. And she said, "I know that you have a birth mom, but God said I could be your spiritual mother. And she has taught me so much about loving and serving my family with an unconditional love. A love that doesn't demand or change because we don't agree. A love that is steadfast and grounded in God. A love that's eternal and unconditional Mom, I thank you for that. I thank you for being a rock to our family, all of my children. Jennifer Ann put together this wonderful slideshow, and hopefully, fingers crossed, I got every single one of you ladies in a picture up there, every one of you. All of these ladies are mentoring each of us, helping to shape us to be better moms and mentors in our churches, our family, and our community. Proverbs 22 and 6 says to train up a child in the way that they should go. And the Bible version, the Message version, the Message Bible says to point your kids in the right direction. Ladies, we are always training. We are always pointing because someone is always watching. Someone is always watching. And I'm going to quote Titus 2 as well. Titus 2, 2 through 5. But as for you, speak things which are proper and for sound doctrine. The older men, be sober. It's important that I read this part. The older men, be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and patience. Older women, likewise. Likewise what? Likewise, be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in your faith, and in love and patience. That they be reverent in their behavior, not slanderers, not given to too much wine, and teachers of good things. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, to be chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands. And I love that. I love that. I wish they would have underlined it and put a bold. You need to be good and obedient to your own husband, not to my husband or the neighbor's husband. Their dynamics are different. Be good to your own husband. Do what works well in your own household. That the word of God may not be blasphemed. Proverbs 31 and 29 says, many daughters have done well, but you all have excelled. All of you have excelled. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And we praise every one of you ladies. Thank you for your example to the younger women in this congregation. There's always going to be younger women in this congregation. Wow, and it's kind of scary to think that I'm an older woman. Kind of don't think I'm ready for that role, so I'm just going to stay with the younger women. So I love how Jesus speaks in parables. I love how he takes things that people are familiar with and items that they are familiar with, and he teaches and tells a story using them. Pastor and I got a puppy in December. He's a Boston Terrier, and he's now about 7 months old. He's adorable. His name is Landry. We named him after Coach Landry of the Dallas Cowboys. And actually, I'm sure with the windows open and spring arriving that all my neighbors know that his name is Landry. Landry, no. Landry, get out of that. Landry, get out from underneath the bed. I was making the bed 2 weeks ago. I was making the bed, and he had run underneath the bed, and I, Landry, get out from underneath that bed. And all I saw was two paws, two white paws come out from underneath the dust ruffle. He's my little buddy. But as most of you know me, who are close to me in my little circle, you'll know I'm not a morning person. I like my coffee, and I like my quiet. Then after I have my coffee, my first cup of coffee, my eyes are kind of open. I like to check my verse of the day. I like to see what God is sharing, just kind of wait and see what he's sharing with me about this verse. Does it apply to me now? Is it something I need to act on? Is it something that's going to be coming in my day? Just kind of being in tune with God a little bit. I check Google News. I check Instagram. And if I have time, I check Facebook. That's my quiet time. That's just my quiet time. My coffee, my quiet time. Well, now I have the equivalent of a two-year-old who my coffee maker is set to go off at 5:15. My Landry starts whining to go out at exactly 5:17, no later than 5:21 every morning. So I don't even get to sleep till 5:30 when the coffee's done. No, Landry is whimpering because he wants to go outside because he knows, hey, that coffee maker's going on. She's going to be getting up. I just want to drink my coffee and have my quiet time. But no, Landry wants to play. Landry wants to play ball. Landry wants to bring his toys. No, I don't want the ball. Oh, how about the chewy toy, Mom? No, I don't want that. How about the little bone, Mom? How about that? Let's play. I'm like, no, I don't want to do any of those things. I just want to drink my coffee. He feels the need to chew his, he pushes up against something to chew his chew toy. So it's the couch, or it's Gary's leg, or it's my leg, or the top of my slipper, or my boot. And I'm like, don't chew on my boots. I'm always yelling at him, don't chew on my boots. But he feels the need to be close to me and chew on something that's mine, in my bubble, in my space. So I get him down. No, Landry, no. And I open my phone, and I go back to Google News or Instagram, or I'm researching a recipe, and that dog will come up to me and paw at my phone. And I'll pull my phone back like that, and what does he do? He comes closer to me and paws at my phone. Now, if I close my phone up, Landry will back off and go on and find a little toy. But as soon as I open my phone, he's back there trying to paw at my phone. Landry does not want me on my phone. Landry wants my attention. But he's just a dog. As a two-year-old, when I am occupied on the phone or on my computer, Landry finds all kinds of things to get into, sometimes even in the same room I'm at. I'm thinking to myself, I'll be on my computer, I'll bring Landry in the office, I close the door, Landry eats a pile of paper. I'm thinking Landry's being a very good boy because he's down underneath my desk, underneath my feet, where I can feel his every move, and he's chewing on my mat. That's a two-year-old for you. Landry, stop. He doesn't want me doing something else. He wants my time. He wants my attention. But he's just a dog. When he needs to go out, we bought these cute little bells that sit by the door. And now we've trained Landry, when he wants to go outside, he rings the bell, stands by the door, and looks at us. Are you coming? And then I'll say, I'll be right there, or there'll be no response. And Landry will ring it maybe one more time, wait for a response. If we don't come, Landry's doing this, ringing that bell, just going crazy. Hey, I'm telling you something. Even if he just went outside, he wants to go outside again. He's a crazy dog. It's like having a baby in the house. What'd we sign up for anyway? But he is just a dog. He is just a dog needing our attention. So the moral of my story this morning, moms and grandmas, is put your phone away. Put your phone away and give your kids the attention that they need. Stop being like this with your phone and be like that with your kids. There was a campaign awareness slogan that went around for a little while on KTVB that said, just put down your phone and drive. Just put down your phone and drive. Stop being on your phone when you're in your vehicle. Put your phone down and drive. Well, put your phone down and pay attention to your kids. Put your phone down and spend time with your kids. They're not always going to be little. They're not always going to want to be around you. It's groovy when they are, though, when they're older and they still want to hang out with their mom and dad. That's good. Raising kids must be an intentional act. We need to have value on our children and show them that they are valued in our families, in our church, in our community. They deserve our attentiveness, because if we don't show them the value and the attention, they'll seek it elsewhere. They'll find it somewhere else. Give your kids the positive attention that they need and deserve, and it could lessen the negative attention that they're asking for in their behavior, like Landry this morning. I was doing my message and studying it this morning, and Landry went around and ate all of the brown stuff that goes around my tree at the bottom of the tree. He got it all out, so I had to grab out the vacuum cleaner. He just wanted attention. And that wasn't positive attention, but it was attention just the same. So we need to make sure that we are giving our kids the attention that they need. So moms, thank you this morning. Thank you for all you do in your families. Thank you for what you represent in this body of believers. And we are being watched. We're being watched by the younger ones. We're being watched by the older ones. We're all in this whole learning circle together. We're all in a circle together. So I thank you for coming. Some of the ladies have prepared some really delicious goodies out in the fellowship area. And we'd just like to ask you to stay and enjoy some fellowship with us. We have a flower, and Grandma Carol made beautiful cards for everyone, and they're out on the table as well. So before you leave, please grab a card and a flower. And we thank you for coming this morning. I'd like to thank Tina for organizing all of the food. Appreciate that. She just took that, and I didn't have to worry about that. I'd like to thank Jennifer for our slides. She took all of those pictures and put them all. I felt like a peeper trying to get onto everybody's Facebook page, try to find pictures and stuff. And Jen, she just put them all together so nicely. So Jennifer, I just really appreciate your help with that. Thank you very much. So if all of you will stand in closing this morning, we're just going to close with a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, we just praise you and thank you for all of the moms that are represented here in our congregation this morning, Father. And I pray for those that struggle with moms who have gone on to be with you this day. It's always kind of a heavy-hearted day for those that have a mom in heaven and not here to nuzzle and to hug and to tell them how much they are appreciated. So, Father, I pray that you would just fill that void today with your love. Moms, I ask that you believe in your God today, therefore believe in yourself. You are beautiful, not by what's seen on the surface, but deeper than that. There will be times that you doubt that you deny it, and quite frankly, don't believe it. But trust God to fulfill your divine purposes and your destiny. Leave traces of your beauty wherever you go in the form of words and smiles, your creativity, allowing your spirits to soar. Believe you are who you are and where you are supposed to be right now. Trust God's grace to help you do what only you can do. And trust God and yourself to hear him. We each have been entrusted with so much. Help us, God, to walk worthy of what you have given to us, and help us to be a tender reflection of you in all that we do with all of our children. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.